The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday. Expository Thursday. As we work together to know the letter better, into the deeper parts of Philippians we travel to understand what things the Lord doth require of us and learn to apply God's timeless truths in our lives, we seek and should be seeking on a regular basis to bring glory to God in the name of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. First up, Christians often talk about being good citizens and being involved in political and social formations. The Bible agrees, but for heaven. Next, I can't wait, the new whatever is coming. It's coming out, and there's such excitement. Now, if we could just harness that energy of excitement for the new thing that's coming out, for the return of Jesus, then we would be nailing it. And finally, there are days, especially of late, that getting out of bed goes a little slower. This is all part of our wonderful hope, so we can appreciate a transformed body that will endure for eternity.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us at david@hemustincrease.org. It really does come to me. I have my little Chromebook on right in front of me, and if you send an email, I should be able to see it, hopefully. Next, you can text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. And finally, as you know, you can call in. And you can call in to 972-445-0770. Have you ever gone out to the pool and sat in the sun, and the sun just kind of covers you, and just for that moment or two, you just feel like all warm and cozy? That's what it's like when you call in and Terrific T answers the phone. Just like that. 972-445-0770. Then she turns you over to me and it starts raining. That's how it goes. Let's be aware that it can be for a general conversation. You can ask questions. If we can answer them on the spot, we will. If we think we need more time or if I'm not real comfortable, I'll tell you. Because I want to be honest about it. Also, you can make a comment about things that are going on all around us. I did make a comment about free speech in the earlier part of the show, in our first part one. And you're welcome to respond to that as well if you'd like to. Additionally, prayer requests, praise reports, as you know, and Bible trivia, which we're going to open up with. Get ready. Here's the first Bible trivia question. Quote, that means you got to know this, Philippians 4:13, that's something that everybody should kind of be able to do. I'm just saying real quickly, you can do it, I know you can, okay. Quote, Philippians 4:13, keep in mind any topic is open for conversation. And why is that? Because it's not professional radio, it's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. All right, to call in, which I should probably tell you again, is 972-445-0770, and to text 214-210-8483. Last hour, we had a really strong and tough trivia question, of which a few people answered absolutely correctly through text, so I just wanted to say thank you to them. You know who you are. You did a good job. Excellent work. And then the next thing I want to talk about is the necessity for our DNA, the building blocks of who we are and what we are. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Not weekly, not monthly, not yearly, not centrally. That's like a center. That's like a whole century, but lily. I don't know how you do that. So D, draw closer to the Lord daily. And never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never be ashamed of Jesus. Even if people don't like him, so what? Those people don't have a heaven to put you in, okay? When you die, you don't get to go to them and say, got a heaven to put me in? It doesn't work that way. And then A, always be ready
to serve.
To serve, which means that you are a willing servant of the Most High God. And that's what you want to be, ready, whatever he wants, for whatever he wants, for whenever he wants, to do whatever he wants, whatever he wants. There's a lot of what he wants going on there. All right, trivia question on the board. Quote Philippians 4:13. I get so much stuff to cover, but I do have to get going on the teaching. But I am going to do two classic Christian jokes in the next segment. They are classic. They are worthy of your attention. But in the meantime, let's start off with our expository teaching.
Wow! 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 All I can say is wow! 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 All I can say is wow!
Wait, that's two times we get to hear Steve Martin. It's pretty funny, yeah. That's a classic. All right, let me go Philippians chapter 3, and we're actually going to be starting at verse 20. I will remind you just real quickly on what the previous verses said, and then we'll just kind of roll into it. Here's what it was said. For it says, Paul said in verse 18, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things." We don't want to be anything like that. That's the wrong way to be. And now verse 20, "For our citizenship is in heaven." Now, let me give you something that you might not be aware of, and I'm going to say something so controversial, I am absolutely guaranteed to get some super negative response for it, which is fine. I mean, that part's fine. But the word citizenship, our citizenship is in heaven, that word is politouma, okay, like pneuma and then politics, like politouma, and it means, watch this, the business of government. And scripture, watch this, people are going to be freaking out. In fact, I wish I could teach this in Washington, D.C. for all the Christians, so people could go, wait, what? That's what they'd say. Because it says our citizenship is in heaven. That means that our social political unit is in heaven. And people are like, no, it's got to be here on earth because that's the only way it makes sense. Wrong. That's not what the scripture teaches. The scripture does not teach that we should be more minded of earth than of heaven. It never has. It never will. Because it is not about this 60, 70, 80, 90, or 100 years. It is about eternity. And Adam and Eve were not created to give them a 60, 70, 80, 90-year process. As you know, they lived a lot longer, but sin entered, and that brought about death. The process that God originated was that we would fellowship with God forever. That is the Christian goal. That is what Jesus restored. That is what is priority, which is why Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. And he wasn't talking about seek it as just something you do. That's why in the Ten Commandments, the first three commandments are directed towards the Lord. That's why in the summation of the commandments in the New Testament, Jesus said, first, love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, strength, and mind. The second is like it, but it's not the same as it. It's then love your neighbor as you love yourself. Loving God and being kingdom-oriented and being heaven-thoughtful is the number one command that the Lord requires of all of his people. And while we're going through this earth, when you get stuck down here, let me just say, I want to say something that's going to absolutely blow your mind. Do you remember that whole process of Adam and Abraham and circumcision, how the Lord wanted him to cut the foreskin off because that was a sign from the covenant from God? Well, in Colossians, it teaches clearly that Jesus Christ, in his dying for us and us believing and us acknowledging him, there is a circumcision that takes place of our old nature so that our new nature can be functioning towards the Lord. And the new nature is heavenward. Jesus even said, well, I'm not even from here. It's like we don't even recognize the importance. And so this citizenship in heaven, how important is this? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13 through 16. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. Did you get that? I'm going to answer this trivia question in a second, but I want you to catch this. They admitted they were I'm a stranger here. I'm a stranger on this planet. That's why you don't belong. That's why you don't feel like you fit in, because you don't. Because you fit in your citizenship in heaven. Verse 14, people who say such things show they're looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they'd left, they would not have had an opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he has prepared a city for them. Wow! Our citizenship is in heaven. Our polituma is in heaven. Our business of government, our social and political unit is in heaven first. Then the other stuff. That's all I can say. You can't change the word of God. All right. In definition, by the way, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm on a tear today. Look out. All right, folks. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Get up! And the expression of faith and the results of that expression of faith and just responding to ignoring what they had to say, not being afraid, having just a little bit of faith, the results were astonishment that God's workings were so clearly manifest. But I will say this, and I don't have any problem saying this. Sometimes you got to just change the atmosphere. And you go, oh, that's not biblical. Jesus kicked them out because they were all naysayers. That's not a promotion of positive thinking and positive saying. It is a promotion of you're either going to have faith or if you're going to have fear, go over in the other room. Get out. Because we need people to have faith. So he clears the air. He makes this bold proclamation. She gets up and watch this. This is something that I'm telling you. I'm getting this as I'm telling it to you. How Jesus not just raised her from the dead, but then he's ministering to her afterwards. It's not over. The miracle's done. Jesus has gone off on the white horse and is never coming back. He's having her taken care of after she's raised from the dead. He keeps going because Jesus cares about how we're doing. It's not a one and done. That's the old evangelist thing. You blow into town, you blow in, you blow up, you blow out. That's not how Jesus did it. He stuck around. He helped. And the parents and the disciples, can you imagine the amazement? I think the disciples had a little bit more prep, right? Hanging out with Jesus a little, right? But could you imagine Jairus and his wife going, okay, what just happened? Your life changed. That's what just happened. It'll never be the same. You'll never be able to deny that Jesus Christ completely rearranged your entire universe. There's some of you out there, you need him to do that. You need to change your atmosphere. You need to ignore what other people are saying. You need to stand firm in your faith. You need to stop being afraid, stop being immobilized, and you need to clear the air and trust and believe God for an incredible miracle that will change life. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I like that one, too. I like that. That clip is a really good clip before this. You know, how Jesus comes into your life and changes. It's like, yeah, that's good. So, doing good? Things good? Okay. All good? Okay. We are going to do, before we do our trivia, we are going to do two what I am calling classic jokes, but I do not have the buzzer. I guess you have the buzzer, huh?
I'm ready.
You ready? All right, so you got either one. I got two of them. Okay? So I'll do both of them. Yes, this is what we do, folks. Every once in a while, you got to laugh. Sorry. I thought this was a legendary one. I'm just telling you right now, so get ready. So she's got it. She's gonna give me what she thinks. That's all right. All right. In the foyer of a church, a young boy was looking at a plaque with the names of men and women who had died in various wars. He asked the pastor, "Who are these people?" The pastor said, "Those are members from our church who died in service." The boy asked, "The early service or the second service?" I mean, come on. The early service or the... Okay, so now there's the... Come on.
Okay, so far so good.
Not bad. This is a trooper pulls over a priest and immediately smells alcohol. Now, don't get offended if I say priest. It's part of the joke. Trooper pulls over a priest and immediately smells alcohol in his breath. The next thing he notices is an empty wine bottle lying on the passenger seat. "Have you been drinking?" the officer asked. "Just water," said the priest. "Then why do I smell wine?" The priest looks at the bottle and shouts, "Good Lord, he's done it again." Oh, he turned the water into wine. No. Okay. That's right, folks. That's what you get. These people are like going, what is going on? What is happening? Trivia question. To whom was Paul speaking when he said, "Let no man despise thy youth"? That's the trivia question. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. Or you can text 214-210-8483. Either one of those. Let's do our website, because we need to do that. HeMustIncrease.org. Website, HeMustIncrease.org, HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, so we've got that going on. We are going to be doing one more Hebrew word, but we'll probably do that in four, and then we'll do history in three. Okay, I'm just trying to keep up here. I don't even know what's going on. Don't forget to check out the website. We would greatly appreciate it. Trivia question on the board right now is, to whom was Paul speaking when he said, "Let no man despise thy youth"? "Let no man despise thy youth." And that's the King James Version, obviously. So just do your best on that. I think you guys can work through that. Let's go back to the text. As you can tell, it's kind of fiery in that prior text. And the reason is I don't want people to misunderstand my position. And tomorrow I'm going to actually teach in the second hour probably the most politically charged element that I've taught. But you must understand that politics in this country and in the world are not the priority over the governance of heaven. And you'll never hear it different. You'll never hear Jesus say it different. It'll never be different. And everybody who's like, "Well, you can't be so, you know, heavenly minded, you're no earthly good," it's like exactly what you can and should be. And in fact, according to the command of Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, that's exactly what we're called to be like. We're supposed to be heavenly minded. Jesus said, "Lay up for yourself treasures" where? On earth or in heaven? In heaven. He doesn't want you to lay up treasures on earth. So that's what you're going to hear, because that's what the command from the Lord is. And what people do is we get so wrapped up in the here and the now. And I think this is an important point to make to you. We get so wrapped up in the here and the now that you can get so focused that you get stressed, you get worrisome, you get anxious, you don't know what's going to happen. Hey, guess what? You don't know what's going to happen 2 minutes from now, let alone 2 days, let alone 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, or 2 decades. You don't know. But the Lord knows, and you serve the Lord. And the Lord has commented to you through his word and through testimony in your life that he is for you, that he is on your side, that he is not against you. And while all of the circumstances might seem one way or appear one way, there is mastery in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And I think it's important, and I'll take the time to say this, that what we do is we get really focused on the here and the now, and we get caught up in the world spirit. And it's amazing, because what Jesus tries to teach his disciples throughout the entire time of his ministry is to have a focus towards heaven, to have a mindset that includes God, to have a thought process that goes beyond the world system and the world rules. Can you just think for a second with me, and just bear with me, but just think for a second about the simplicity of Jesus feeding the 5,000. So he's feeding the 5,000, right? Of men. Scripture says 5,000 men besides women and children. So could have been 10,000, 12,000. Some people say like 8,000. I don't think it really matters. I think the point was there was 5,000. There was a couple of fish and some bread. And it's like, in the world, there is no way that these people can be fed. It cannot happen. I'm trying to, as best as I can, take five Subway subs that are 5 or 6 feet long, put them together, and tell me how you're going to feed 5,000 plus people with that, and that they didn't even have that much. And what the disciples said is, how are we going to, we can't do this. This won't work. And the won't work part comes from seeing everything in the natural. And instead of complaining about what he had to work with, Jesus took what they had and he offered up thanksgiving to start with. And then he gave it away. And everybody got fed and they took up extra afterwards, more than they started with. And my point in that is how we have to walk the Christian journey. One of the things that I find amazing about that story, by the way, is Jesus had them sit down in groups of 50, but I always thought this was a fascinating element, that people are standing around and they're hungry and Jesus wants to feed them. And you know what Jesus does? He tells everybody, sit down. Because you know what you do when you sit down? Nothing. You just, okay. You're done. You're not going to control anything. You're just going to sit there. Sit down. Sit down in groups of 50. I'll take care of this. And what we do is we approach our life and we cannot figure out for the life of us how to make it work. And God is there with us going, I can make this work. How do you think an army of 300 kills an army of 128,000? Now, you either believe that in the Bible, or you don't. You either believe that the Bible is the Word of God and that the God that created the universe and spoke the universe into existence, you either believe that he did that and he can write a book, or you don't. Just pick. But you can't be on the fence. You got to pick. And that's exactly what Joshua said. He said, I don't know about you guys, but for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. And that was the difference between, just so you can know, between Billy Graham and his cohort, where Billy Graham said, I believe that this is everything in this book is the word of God. That's what God has to say. Then God blessed his ministry. So the only question in some of this, and we'll get to Philippians on the backside, but the only question is, do we believe that the Bible is the word of God? And do you believe the stories in there apply to you? Do you believe God was trying to send a message to humanity about salvation through Jesus Christ and redemption through Jesus Christ and grace and mercy and abundant help for our current lives and our life circumstances and situations? There's a reason that Paul said, in every circumstance, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And people try to argue that. Well, it doesn't mean everything. It says every circumstance, every situation. That's what it says. You can't undo it. And my point in saying this is there is this incredible spirit in the world that not only limits possibility per se, but is negative. It's all a downer because sin is a downer. And the world is directed more by sin and by Satan because Jesus hasn't pulled the lever yet to have the full redemption manifest. If he had done that, there would be no death, just so you can know. So the bottom line is, do you believe that God can do what he's demonstrated in his word that he can do? And do you believe he's going to do it for you? And don't tell me, well, you know, maybe. You either believe he can or he can't. If he decides not to, that's his decision. But do you believe he can do it? Do you believe he can take the little bread and a couple of fish and feed 5,000 plus? Do you believe he can raise the dead? Because that's what he did, and that's where your faith is being placed. And if you don't believe that he can raise the dead, you don't believe in Jesus. So I almost can't read. We got to do trivia, right? Got to do the trivia. Okay. All right. Boy, that was a really, really good rant, though. I like my rant. I like him. Sorry. I can't help you. Who was it that he said, that Paul said, speaking to him, said, let no man despise your youth? The answer to that is Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth. That youth and that faith and that determination, that's something we all need to be hanging on to. All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
GOP congressman's gay son was going to come on their show, and they were going to talk to him, and CNN and MSNBC canceled the interview because he wouldn't criticize his father. He wouldn't downgrade his father because his father maintained his beliefs. His son becomes gay, makes a decision, by the way, to become gay. And the son will not criticize the father, who does not change his Christian convictions, will not change them.
Father won't change him. Son will not criticize the father for that. MSNBC and CNN both canceled their interviews because the guy would not crucify his father. That is, of all things, as low as the press can go.
On Christ the solid rock I stand.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. By the way, September, meeting with her doctor today, so keep her in prayer. Just pray for September. The Lord, kind of directs, and that all goes well. We'll hopefully have some information about that tomorrow. Let's see. A couple things I do want to cover, and I got to remember. We got our trivia question, so it's a little tougher question. I hope you guys are ready for a little tougher question. Right now, Cordy and Joy are going for the circuit. So they've got three out of the three. There's two more to go. And they'd be the first people to do all five, I think. That's like, wow, this could be a major. All right, you got to think this through. You're going to get a choice. It's a multiple choice question, which means basically you have a 1 in 4 chance of getting this correctly. Which is the longest book in the New Testament? Is it A, Matthew, B, Luke, C, Romans, or D, Revelation? Which is the longest book in the New Testament? Is it A, Matthew, B, Luke, C, Romans, D, Revelation? Do not be dismayed. It is not based on chapter number. Ooh, Dave. Yeah, not based on chapter number. It's like how many words, it's a word count thing. Just so you can know. Yeah, that's the sneaky part. Thank you. You can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483, or you can also send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. What do we got? Website? All right, let's do the website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, and before we get back to Philippians, because I got to finish that teaching because I've only done one. I've done five words. Hey, it's one of those days. What are you going to do, right? I mean, it was raining. It's going to really rain for the next couple of days, too. That's what I heard. So every time Levi comes in because of our yard, we have to stop him, right? And then we have to grab his little paws. And he hates that. He just hates that. Just like, leave me alone. It's like, dude, you're not walking through this house with muddy paws. It's like, it's not happening. All right, let's do a little bit of history. Some cool stuff in this.
Let's go live in the past.
All right, for those that do not know, today is National Hug Day. That's good. National Hug Day. That's nice. Everybody got to get a hug, right?
Can't do hugs. COVID.
Okay, that's right. Can't do hugs. You can do them with your significant other, though,
that
right?
Too,
you can do
and air hugs.
Oh, air hugs. Hey, nice. Good call. Air hug. Okay, got it. All right. It's National Granola Bar Day. Okay, that's good. I mean, some granola bars are pretty good, right?
Love granola bars.
Love granola bars. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that about you.
Aren't granola bars supposed to be healthy?
Well, yeah, but I like the ones that have chocolate on
Me
them.
Me too. Drench it in chocolate.
I have no idea about the other stuff. Today is Sweatpants Day. How do you not like that?
Those
right?
are the most comfiest pants.
Yeah. See, Noelle said to me today, I said, hey, I was told her last night, I said, tomorrow's Sweatpants Day. She goes, you wear shorts like sweatpants. It's like, okay. I can't even say anything about that. It's Squirrel Appreciation Day. I don't know. See, in our area, in our neighborhood, the squirrels, they're not doing a lot of good for a lot of people in their little gardens and stuff like that. So it could be touchy. And then here's my favorite. It's One-Liners Day. So one-liners, so you're thinking of that. That's a one-liner like when somebody says, I know you are, but what am I? See, that's a one-liner. Like, you're really bet. I know you are, but what am I? See, that's a one-liner. Also, this is a one-liner. I'm sorry that God didn't choose you.
That's mean.
I like that one.
That's a good one. Oh, I'm sorry. You and your dumb, you know, beliefs and your faith. I'm sorry God didn't choose you. See how good that is. Okay, let's see. 1911, on this day, the first Monte Carlo rally took place. Oh, this is the one I wanted to get to. Not this one, the one after. 1957, Patsy Cline wins the talent show for TV's Arthur Godfrey's Talent Scouts with the song Walking After Midnight. Became her first top 10 hit. This is the one I wanted to say, though. In 1930, on this day, Pluto was discovered. Now, it turns out that they declassified Pluto. It used to be a planet, and then they declassified it to a dwarf planet, okay? But, okay, for all of us who did the science projects when we were younger, Pluto's a planet, no matter what they say to me. I don't care what they say, and ever. And then number two, where it was discovered was Lowell Observatory in Flagstaff, Arizona. I've been to that exact spot, spending many hours praying in that exact spot. Unfortunately, Pluto, in and of itself, kind of not the best word for a planet since it means God of the underworld. But anyhow, I just thought I'd bring that up. I thought it interesting. Okay, so our question that is out there, very tough. I know it's tough. Which is the longest book in the New Testament, not based on chapters, but which is the longest book, Matthew, Luke, Romans, or Revelation? That's the question. So if you think, you know, somebody thinks they know. Somebody thinks they know. So we're going to give them a chance, and then we'll get into the teaching. As I am apt to do, I want to finish this teaching because I got to do more than 5 words on expository teaching. So, okay, we ready? Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Well, hi, David. This is Joy again today.
Hi, Joy. Hello, again hello. Today. How are you?
I'm just so blessed, having fun with my calculator and my Bible. I had to look it up.
That is classic. Okay, so now that you've used a calculator and a Bible for a word count, What do you think between Matthew, Luke, Romans, and Revelation, what did you come up with as the longest book?
Well, I was going to say Matthew because it has more chapters, but I'm saying Luke.
That is correct. You are right. Good job. Good job. See, that's what gets people get a little caught up because they think the chapters and maybe the chapters are all the same and the verse sizes are all the same. It's like, And so it's amazing just to think that. And people don't realize actually how much Luke wrote since he wrote Acts as well. He wrote a huge portion of the New Testament. People just don't understand that because they think that Paul just wrote it all. It's like, no, between Acts and between Luke, there's a lot of material there that he wrote. So, excellent job.
Yes, and we love Dr. Luke, and he has to be detailed. Doctors have to write in and document carefully, so he was excellent at that as well.
I wonder if he had lousy penmanship like most doctors do. You ever wonder about it? Because most doctors can't write anything. It's like,
we'll
can't read that.
We'll find out in heaven.
Okay.
Thank you. This is so fun.
All right, God bless.
Thanks, bye.
Bye-bye. Great job. Okay. All right. Let me. Excellent. So they only got one more. Oh boy. One more. They'll be nailing it down. All right. Let me finish this because I didn't get to finish it, and I need to finish it because, you know, I have to finish it. So let me just do the rest of this in Philippians. For our citizenship is in heaven, for which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just going to say this super clear and super specific. We are supposed to be eagerly waiting for Jesus. There is supposed to be an eager expectation of Christ's return. And if we had that, I will go back again, it would give us a better sense of heavenly thinking and a greater ability to curb earthly appetites. And what's important about that is understanding that the return of Jesus Christ is a part of that springboard hope we talked about in the first 30 minutes. And it's the if you knew that tomorrow morning Jesus was coming back and everything would be over, between now and then, what would you do different? And then the answer is, why aren't you doing that now? if you knew the Lord was coming back. Now, he's going to come back for individuals, and that's going to take place until he comes back in that corporate context. But because you don't know, and because I don't know, and because everybody who thinks they know does the I know everything that the Lord's going to do kind of thing, it's like, no, you don't. Here's the bottom line. We should have an eager expectation. Well said. We should be living for the Lord as though he's coming back tomorrow, and as though he's coming back in 100 years. There should be this attitude of occupying until you come, and this disposition of we're going to keep moving forward and building on the kingdom of God, but there should be this eager expectation and anticipation. Here, being a manifold millennialist who has studied premillennialism, premillennialism, dispensationalism, amillennialism, and postmillennialism, here is where the premillennials and the premillennial dispensationalists have a much bigger advantage than amillennialists or than postmillennialists, even though you don't want to admit it. I'm all three, so it's just the facts are the facts. The reality check is the eager expectation of premillennialism is a complete advantage, and it should be something we all operate in. Because let me explain something to you. Jesus can come back for you in this next hour. He could come back in the next minute. And people are like, no, no, that's not what Scripture says. They were wrong the first time they tried to figure it out. You want to place your wages that everybody knows now and everybody's got a different opinion? Nah, stop that. He'll come back when the Father in the time that the Father has set. But he can come back for you individually at any second. And he can come back corporately as he determines. So we ought to be living with an eager expectation, waking up saying, I hope this is the day. And that's the one thing that drives me batty. Everybody getting upset about the things that are crumbling around them. I want Jesus to come back. Come back, right? All right. Does that make sense? Okay. All right, down to you poor people. I love you. I pray for you. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back.
All of mankind, destroying everyone and everything we find. He's the
heart. Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend Noel, has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, plus a dog named Levi. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and is involved in a PhD program. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
This is Ray Bentley.
Ray Bentley, the man, the myth, the legend on the show.
I was going to say that about you.
It has been 4 years and 6 months and 29 days since you've been live on the David Spoon Experience.
Oh, man, finally. I'm sliding in under the tag home safe.
You are finally safe. Okay. And so I'll tell the entire audience real simple. After this interview, you can either blame Ray or you can bless Ray because it was his fault a year and a half ago on February 12th when he called me and said, you should be back on the radio.
You just point
to that guy. Okay. All right. First of all, Ray, I want to ask you a really important question to start everything off with. The time is yours. You determine how much time you've got. It's totally up to you. But I do want to just ask you this quick question. How you doing?
You know what? I am doing good. I'm doing great. I think these are exciting times. I feel like we're in an acceleration of things happening, of God moving, of kind of things that we thought about and imagined prophetically what it would look like. And it's like happening so much so fast with such acceleration. I'm like, I can't hardly keep up with it all. It's just, it's a great hour to look up and to encourage one another. You know, I do realize there's lots of challenges, and these are trying times, but out of the worst of times come the best of times.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Love hearing Ray. I mean, Ray's just such a great, you know, we talk probably once every 2 months or whatever the case may be. Every time, it's just a blessing. That's the way, you know, the Lord will bring people into your lives. You'll hear some of them daily, like some people hear me daily. You'll hear some, you know, weekly and monthly and even quarterly, whatever. The Lord has set that up on the behalf and for the benefit of all of his children. It's just so cool. And when he calls, I smile. It's like, oh, it's Ray. You know, can't wait. So, great guy. All right, what do we got? We got trivia, and then we got the Hebrew word. Okay, so we got the Hebrew word. T and I have decided she's got to get a big white thing of or a white tablet so that we can write on it so she can read. Because if she writes in pen or pencil, I can't tell what she's saying. You'd think by now we would have figured something out, right? It's been like almost a year, right? Have you been here like almost a year? Are you closing in on a year? Wow. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I feel so sorry for you. Anyway, that's my love for you. Let's not forget about the website, hemustincrease.org. Let's do that real quick. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, now for the trivia question. Okay. Joy and Cordy are probably going, what is it? What is it? All right, here we go. In the book of Philemon, what is the name of the servant for whom Paul was making an appeal? Very, very, very fascinating. In the book of Philemon, what is the name of the servant that Paul was making an appeal for? What was the name of that person? And I have... let's see if we have somebody calling in already, and then we have Joy and Cordy hitting for the circuit, which means an amazing amount, 5 out of 5. That's pretty good. And we're ready to take this. Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, good afternoon, David. This is Al.
Hi, brother. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm having fun doing the show, which could be really dangerous for people in the future. That's all.
Love
I can...
the show. Love the show.
It's so awesome, and I appreciate that. Appreciate your prayers and keeping up you and Ryan and your whole family in prayer. Just making sure that everybody's praying for each other and taking care of one another.
Yeah.
That's the
We need it these days.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think we're going to need it more and more. So instead of getting less, we need to get more into it. All right, my good friend. Yep. In the book of Philemon, what is the name of the servant for whom Paul was making an appeal?
Now, I'm just from Texas, so I'm probably going to say this wrong. Onesimus?
Onesimus, but that is correct. You are right. That is right. Makes an appeal for him. There's a lot of speculation as to what took place there. You know, like maybe he stole something and this, that, whatever. And you get into it and it's fun. But here's the bottom line. He was making an appeal and he was like going, look, dude, we're brothers. Let's make this work. He left and he wasn't even committed to Christianity. Now he's coming back as a Christian. Make it work. And it's just like, that's so good. It's just the right attitude to have. So excellent job, my friend. Excellent.
Very good.
All right. Thank you, brother.
Have a great day.
All right. God bless you. Okay. We're going to do a real fast Hebrew word. Okay. I'm going to pull this off. Watch how we do this. Go ahead.
All right, we're going to do our Hebrew word. Let me give a shout-out, though, to Joy and Cordy for hitting the cycle. So normally hitting the cycle is you go into baseball and you hit a single, a double, a triple, and a home run. That's what's called hitting the cycle. You hit all four. And in this case, they hit a single, a double, a triple, a home run, and a grand slam. Very nice. Very nice. The first ever to do it, ever. In the out of our 9 years of radio, nobody's ever done that. Excellent job. Okay, let me tell you what this word is. This is a classic, okay? This is the word pekad. Pekad. This is a pekad. Not like pekad.
Pekad.
Pekad. Okay, and it means to attend or to pay attention or to take care of is the primary meaning, like to take care of it. Like I'm gonna pekad my time with the Lord. I'm gonna take care of my time. I'm gonna attend to it. I'm gonna pay attention to it. Another way of thinking of it is Captain Jean-Luc Picard visiting the planets and numbering them. So Picard, get it? Okay, taking it, paying attention, attending to, or taking care of. Picard. Okay? All right. You're all the smarter for it. That's my line. You're all the smarter for it. Or not. I can't help you on that one. All right. Let me finish this off. We did the verse 20. I'll do 21 in pretty fast fashion. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Now, before you get technical, just think about what he's saying. He's going to transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. So there's two huge points here. One, you're going to get another body. People are like, well, if a person wears glasses, will they wear glasses in heaven? I don't know. Who knows? Who could tell you that? Nobody knows that answer. Here's what I know. If God showed up and spent 24/7 with you right now in the body you're in, you'd explode. His presence is so overwhelming, you'd be like, pow. So you got to have a new body. And what's really great about that is as you get older, you might be able to discern that getting out of bed becomes harder and harder. So for those that are in your teens or in your 20s, it has its moments. 30s gets a little harder. 40s, 50s, and 60s, it gets really harder. 70s, it gets harder and harder. Here's what I'm trying to say. The whole point is that's a testimony to the hope that's coming. It's almost like God's testimony going, better's coming, better's coming. You wake up and you go, I put my slippers on and put my robe on. In fact, if my dog didn't get up and start wagging his head with that little bell on his collar and ding, 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 I'd probably still stay in bed as long as I could. But you get up, time to get up. That's what we're going to be losing is the dramatic, it's tough to get up body. We're going to be transformed. It's going to be Christ's authority that's going to energize all eternal things. Okay, that's what that back half says. And we're going to be transformed. We're going to be changed. The outward's going to be changed. Does that mean the inward's going to be changed? No. In fact, transform actually means outward change in this particular text. And we're going to put on eternal suits. Remember we said it's sweatpants day, right? Imagine putting on a pair of sweatpants and as soon as you put them on, your body's eternal. Like, buy me those. I want those sweatpants. You get that? And the whole point of that is we're going to reap the great stuff. And so Paul is concluding this. He does warn them, if you've listened to what we said about Philippians, he does warn them, hey, look, you got some people who are the enemies of Christ, and you can't be that way. You can't have your mind on earthly things. Your citizenship's got to be in heaven. You got to have an eager anticipation that Jesus Christ is coming back. That's like the most important element that we can have. And there's something that's going to happen when he does come back. Your body is going to become eternal. Now, can that be easily defined? No. But I will tell you something. I'll be really careful about this. I did have a dream. It does not mean it was the Lord. Does not mean it was, you know, I'm not giving it any kind of biblical authority or anything. But I had a dream that there were a bunch of Christians on a hill, and I was one of them. And we all rose. And as we rose, we came out of our old bodies and almost immediately into these new bodies. Now, there is no theological element that I can give you that I can say it other than it was totally cool. That's what I can say. And you think, well, could that be fostered by your mind and spending time in the Word? It could have been fostered by Taco Bell. I have no idea. But what I know is when it happened, it was cool. That's what I know. And it's like, oh, yep, that's it. And you knew. It was almost kind of the one thing I will say about the dream is you knew instantly. Yep, this is what it is. And I was like, yes, yes. Because you're going to put on that eternal suit and the whole program is going to be different. All the pain, all the tiredness, and all the tears. That'll be the end of that. And then you'll be living forever with God as your buddy, so to speak, as your Lord and Savior, King and Master, but as your friend and as your buddy, and you'll be hanging out with everybody else. Wow. Alton asked a cool question. Was I fat in the dream? It's like, dude, I don't know. It didn't look like I had lost any weight, so I just want to say I have no idea, but I didn't care. That was good. All right. Love you guys. Got it rock and rolling for tomorrow. Starting at 1:30, you know that. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, taking a 22.5-hour break. Talk to you tomorrow.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.